It is July the 18th, 2003, and I am interviewing Lorraine Nugent. When and where were you born?
I was born on the farm in Gray County, 11 miles southeast of Cimarron.
And when was that?
March the 14th, 1923.
So you were born on a farm, so mm-hmm. Your parents were farmers then?
Yes. They built a farm. They built their home, and they farmed. And much later in life, in the early 40s, my dad started working in town mm-hmm. in the First Nation of Bank.
So did you move in town then?
No. We always remained on the farm. The farm home that they built in 1921 is still there. Mm-hmm. My brother and his family moved in after my parents moved to town in 1950. Mm-hmm. And they raised their family there. His name was David Bryan. And his wife was Wilma Rose Bryan, Davis Bryan. Mm-hmm. And they raised their family there, of Melinda and David Bryan. And now David and his wife live there, and they raised their family there. So it's gone down to three generations.
Yeah.
And it's still there and still farming.
But your parents weren't there originally. Where were they from?
My mother came from West Virginia mm-hmm. when she was 7 years old, and came to Gray County and lived her with her parents. And they lived 6 miles east of Cimarron on Highway 50.
Why did they come to the middle of nowhere? Do you know?
Well, they lived in West Virginia, and my dad had a large, my grandfather mm-hmm. was named Jefferson Davis Butcher. He had a large family of girls and two boys, and he did not want his girls to marry coal miners. And so they came to out here. They came this far because most of the land was already, they purchased their land that wasn't homesteaded. And they purchased as soon as they further west they come, that's where the land was available. That was my mother's parents. And then my father's parents were from Eastern Kansas. They lived in southeastern Kansas. Their home was in Missouri, and their barn was in Kansas. So it was right on the line. And they moved out here for the same reason, and they purchased land south of Cimarron, which was close to where my parents built their home. And so they moved here to farm. And they moved for the reason that it rained all the time, and it washed their crops out, or they couldn't get them planted. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to get to a drier area, and they did.
Yeah, no kidding.
They'd come a little further west than they hoped, but again, they purchased the ground, and this was the only, they had to come this far to find available land to purchase. So that's why my mother taught school here in Cimarron, graduated from high school here, and taught school here. And in Pierceville.
What did she teach?
She taught grade school. Mm-hmm. And she didn't teach too many years because she got married and started her family. I was a second of four children.
So you have a brother and...
I have a brother.
You do have a brother. There's two more.
And two sisters.
Two sisters.
Okay. One is not living. My youngest sister isn't living. Mm-hmm. We all thought she'd outlive all of us, but she got cancer and she died in 1998 mm. with esophageal cancer. So my sister that is, and my brother is deceased. Mm. He was a postmaster here in Cimarron, and he had a heart attack and died at age 60.
That's interesting.
And He is deceased. So I have a sister that lives in Pensacola, Florida, and her name is Yvonne Marie Bryan Parsons. Mm-hmm. And her husband's still living, and they travel in their motor home this summer and get back home during our winter months here, but of course it's not winter there. Mm-hmm. And they live in Pensacola, and we talk to each other two or three times a week on the phone and email each other a lot. And she is 6 years younger than I. Mm-hmm. So there's two of us left now, she and myself, and she's 6 years younger. My brother was a year and a half older than me. My younger sister was 8 years younger, and she's 6 years younger. So we're the only two left, and we enjoy each other. And I go down to Florida and visit with her and stay with her some, mm-hmm. and she comes here. We had a family reunion here just a year ago in June. I had the house full of her family. They were going to Denver to a Parsons family reunion. Her husband was from Colorado. Mm-hmm. And they all stopped here for a few days, and so we had air beds and everything all over the place.
Sounds like a good deal.
So it was fun. That's a little bit about my family. My mother and dad married. She taught school. Graduated from high school here. From here and went to Emporia to school before she taught. My dad, he went to business school in Salina and graduated there. And he went to school at Cimarron also. And that's about, that's all I think of right now that you might know. My father lived on the farm and raised us, the four of us, and all four of us went to college. My brother was in World War II, and he went to KU, and my youngest sister, Yvonne, lives in Florida, went to KU, and my youngest sister graduated from KU. I went to K-State all 4 years and graduated from K-State.
You're a rebel.
And now I have a nephew that graduated from there, this K-State, just this year. So I'm real proud of him. I had a niece that graduated from Kansas State University a few years back. So I got a few of them to go to Kansas State. And I graduated from Kansas State and was going to do everything but come back home, but I ended up coming back to Cimarron to teach. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really planned on it, but I could get more money here than I could than the towns east of here. And the superintendent called me while I was a senior at Kansas State University, and I was graduate in education, home economics and education. And wanted me to teach because they really needed a teacher here. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take his first offer because I had another offer that was pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I did end up coming to teach here, and it was very, what was it? Oh, God. It wasn't much compared to what you get today, mm-hmm. by any means.
Yeah.
But it was better than anywhere else I could get without going further west. Mm-hmm. So I came here, and I did not live at home. I lived in Cimarron. We'd go home on the weekends, and ended up getting married that December, my first year teaching, over Christmas vacation, and lived here ever since.
Like,
not in this home, but in Cimarron.
So tell me about the chores you did
on the farm. My mother always kept us busy when we weren't asleep or eating.
Mm-hmm.
My brother helped my father milk cows. He helped him with farming in the fields.
Mm.
We raised wheat mainly.
Mm.
No irrigation then.
Mm.
And I helped my mother, and my sisters were 6 and 8 years younger, so I helped with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they did get old enough to do anything, they didn't do it because I was around to do it. So They didn't do much until I got away. And when Mother said when I went off to school, was gone, they just took over and could do just as well as I did. But they wouldn't do it as long as I was around. We had a garden in the summertime, so when we had cherry trees, we picked cherries. I would pick the cherries, my sister, just young, Yvonne, would make cherry pie, because she'd rather make cherry pie than pick cherries.
Makes sense.
And I would work in the garden and with Mother. And we didn't mow the yard too much then. I don't know, we kept the weeds down. I don't know exactly, I don't remember about that. And we kind of cleaned house. Mm-hmm. See, I was born in 23, and I lived there during the dirty 30s.
Yes.
And I really, really did clean house all the time, it seemed like.
I bet.
I dusted. And we did have a pretty modern home for those days. And we had a vacuum. Mm-hmm. And I did use a paintbrush and a dustpan in the windows. We had a nice home, too, and we had electric lights. Not like we have today. They were center of the room. Mm-hmm. A light would come down. We had a bridge lamp or two.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one bathroom for six of us.
Mm-hmm.
It was had all the modern, up-to-date facilities, but there's one. And we didn't have that now when I was born, but we did later on in the 20s. They improved the electricity. The electricity was generated not by RCA like today, but not by Victory Electric, I should say. It was by a Delco plant, and an engine that generated electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to be very conserving. And then my father finally got a wind charger, so it could supplement the batteries, and that way we didn't have to be quite so conservative with turning off the lights, which was always turn off the lights and shut the doors. But I did do a lot of house cleaning, and I was in 4-H, my brother and I both were,
mm-hmm.
So I did do projects like they do today.
So 4-H has been around.
Oh, it's been around. I think I joined at 8. I know I was in at 10. My brother was in. We would both do projects in the summertime. I remember one summer I had a pig, and he had a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Mine got the blue ribbon. He had done most of the work with it. But we had sheep another summer. Each of us had a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my projects were gardening or cooking. I baked always one. Blue ribbons or Grand Champions on Angel Food cakes, and I baked them from scratch. No mixes then.
I love
it. Uh-huh. So we were busy with 4-H and with keeping up the home, and my mother was in clubs, and she would do. We all worked together very nicely. Mm-hmm. We did washing, and I remember ironing. Then we ironed. We didn't have polyester. I remember ironing the Shirley Temple dresses of my two younger sisters, and they had real puffy sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember you asked me what I did, and that was about the size of what I did. I did cook. I helped prep meal preparation and clean house. That was it.
So you mentioned washing and ironing. Was that electric then?
We had a Maytag washing machine in our basement later. Now, at first, before I was big enough to do much, they didn't have. They had the old-fashioned tubs that they put around in a hand wringer, but we finally got away a Maytag. Or when we got electricity, we even had a yard light. But we would wash our clothes in this Maytag washing machine. It had a ringer that was electric, and it run the clothes through that ringer into the first rinse water. Then into the ringer it would turn and into the next rinse water. Then it would run into the clothes to be taken out and hung on a line, no dryer. And when we didn't use that machine for washing clothes, we used it for other things.
Like what?
You took the agitator out of the washing part of the machine and set this kind of a milk can that was made for. Mm-hmm. Down on the agitator, so you filled it full of cream and you made your butter. It turned it and agitated and made butter. And the parents had bought a grinder and they could put on this agitator.
That's interesting.
And my father, they would butcher a steer or pig, and we would grind sausage or hamburger.
In the washing machine?
I didn't do it. Not in the washing machine. This grinder was just like a grinder that you turn with a crank, only the machine did turn the crank, and you put the meat in with your hands. Uh-huh. And it made hot dogs too, but I don't know how to do that. And then it would come out over here into a pan, mm-hmm. and so it'd be already ground. It wasn't down in the washing machine.
Okay. So there was the washing machine.
This grinder had an something that set down on the agitator.
Uh-huh.
Then, but it ground up here. I mean, it had.
Okay. So it's like the agitator was like, is it what it was like in the center, like they are today?
Yeah,
right?
Like they are today.
Okay. Uh-huh. So there was something that set down on it, and then it was kind of set on top.
And you put the meat in here,
and then it came out over here. Okay.
So it was not down
in
there.
Okay, I gotcha.
And same way with the cream that we put in there. The tank of it was like a cream can. It's set down on the agitator.
Mm-hmm.
Do this. So they used it for lots of things.
Yeah.
My parents did. I didn't do that particularly, but I would watch them do it, and I'd help Mother with them.
Did you have electric ironing too, or did you have
I did early days. I did some ironing with what they called sad irons that we had to heat on the stove.
Was that electric?
No.
No. Okay.
Then we got, that was on a coal burning stove that we heated these irons. But that was just when I was very young. Then we got an electric iron.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the regular ironing board. And that's when I was ironing the Shirley Temple dresses, was with the electric iron. And I ironed my brother's white shirts too.
Hmm.
Mother didn't like to do those things. So she put me, I did a pretty good job, I guess, or she wouldn't let me stay with it. So I did do ironing. And we had to press iron more than we do now.
Hmm.
We had cotton. And in 4-H work, I did do sewing and cooking and other things. I took a project one summer of photography.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have near the projects that they do now, then.
Photography, did you have your own camera then?
Yes. Uh-huh. It was just a box camera. Brownie box cameras.
Bought cameras that have the little fold-out lens.
Yes.
And you see?
And you just snap them. It didn't have all the light fixtures and flashes and have that then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good training project for me because it taught me to center the object. And I had some good pictures, so I took them to the fair too.
We
would go swimming.
Uh-huh. Where'd you go?
We came to Cimarron, to a swimming pool that was in South Cimarron.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a free pool. And when we go to Dodge, we would swim in the Dodge City pool.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't swim on, and that didn't have any pool on the farm or anything to swim in, like they didn't have it.
Right.
Didn't have anything at home. But I can't think of anything other than that. My brother and I rode a horse to grade school.
Uh-huh.
I rode the first 6 years of my life on a black pony without a saddle. He and I rode together every day that we had school 5 days a week, to and from school. And this school was a country school named Sunnyside.
Sunnyside.
It was 6 miles north of Ensign, just straight. Oh no, it was 5 miles north of Ensign.
How far away from it was you?
2 miles and a half. We would go 2 miles east and a half a mile north, morning and evening, on this black pony.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been a racehorse. She was young yet. But we, and she ran pretty fast, but we had only a bridle, no saddle.
Mm-hmm. It must have been interesting.
My brother sat in front and I hung on to him. And my legs at first just took straight out. But we rode morning and evening, mm-hmm. to and from, unless even in the dirt storms we did.
Really?
Uh-huh, we would ride. It wouldn't be dirty when we'd go in the morning. Sometimes it'd be bad in the evening. And we carried a sack of feed for the horse. It was shaped like an hourglass. We had wheat here and wheat here, and then it laid over her neck.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember how it hooked on there. It stayed there. And my brother would feed her and water her. And we had a building there at the school that they kept her in, manger that they tied her. We were the only one that had a horse. The rest of them must have walked, I don't know. And he fed her and watered her every noon, and we'd ride her home that night. And one night, I don't remember, it must have been 23, I must have been in the second or third grade.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been during the 30s, I guess. We had a nice link yard fence around our farm.
Mm-hmm.
It was very neat, done real nice. Well, the wind was going to come up and get bad that day, so my dad didn't want to catch dirt and thistles in this yard fence.
Mm-hmm.
So he got out early in the morning and rolled it up.
Mm-hmm.
Had been several big rolls because there was a lot of it. Well, that night we couldn't see coming home. It was that dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother laid down on the mane of the horse and I laid down on his back and we just hung on and she ran and we got home. When we came to, we never did raise up and look because we knew she'd take us home. She cut through the yard because the fence was gone,
mm-hmm.
and went under the clothesline. And you know what that did with us. We ended up on the ground. When we got up and got our bearings, she was drinking out of the horse tank. So that was I really remember that story about getting peeled off under the clothesline. Because she cut through the yard. But I did ride a horse to school for sixth grades.
Mm-hmm.
Then my brother was an eighth grader, so we had to go to, didn't have any grades any hard.
Mm-hmm.
No, we had up to eighth grade at the country, but since he had to go to Ensign, we were in the Ensign district.
Mm-hmm.
Since he had to go to Ensign to go to junior to high school, I went to Ensign too.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the seventh and eighth grade.
So how far was that from?
From our place, it was 6 miles.
Wow.
It was from inside. We'd go 4 miles north and 2 miles west.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove. And my sisters were getting old enough then to go to school, so we drove in a car, and we took a neighbor boy, a cousin that lived within a mile, with us. So that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brother, his brother was older, so he drove. Cause mm-hmm. There was about four of us, and six of us went in the car to Ensign to school.
Mm-hmm.
We all went there 3 years. My two sisters, my youngest sister wasn't old enough, but my one that's 6 years younger than I, she went her first, second, third grade at Ensign.
Mm-hmm.
And I went my 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept promising us they would get a band. And we all had, that's something we did when growing up. We mm-hmm. took piano lessons, all of us did.
Oh, okay.
My brother started when he's 5, and I started when I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
And the music teacher came by once a week out of Dodge and gave us her piano lesson at our home.
So she traveled then?
It was a man. He was a man. His name was Henry Robbins. He traveled in his car, and he preferred pay, and rather than money, he preferred chickens, eggs. Hmm. We gave him money too, but mm-hmm. If we had fryers, we gave him fryers. If we had eggs, we gave him eggs.
So he preferred that.
He preferred that food because he lived in Dodge, and he mm-hmm. preferred the farm food. Anything we had, if we had good cream, why? We could pay him.
Yeah.
My parents could. But we took piano lessons and had lessons winter and summer once all the time was growing up. And my brother was really a good musician. And I had two sisters that majored in music. I didn't. But I could always sing pretty well, and I could always play piano pretty well, but I didn't major in music. I majored in home economics and education instead, because I think I cleaned most of the time, clean the house and cooking. But anyway, that's another thing that we did. We went 3 years. I went 7th and 8th and 9th grade to Ensign, and they kept saying they was going to get a... They had music, vocal teachers, but they didn't have a band. And they had a real good band here in Cimarron. And that one fall, they didn't have the music teacher. The band teacher from Cimarron came out to our home. He needed band members. And he recruited all four of us, because my youngest sister was in grade school then, and she played a little pipette thing. And we turned around, turned our car around, and came to Cimarron. We were in the district, in Ensign district. And my brother and I could go to high school without any expense, added expense, but my two sisters had to pay tuition, because they were grade school. And to go to grade school out of the district, you had to pay tuition to that district. I don't know when that stopped. It probably stopped when Ensign and Cimarron.
It's kind of interesting.
But they paid tuition if you went out of the district. I don't know how much it was, but then a dollar then was, you know, every dollar counted. But we came to Cimarron then. I came and went to and graduated from Cimarron. I came here my sophomore, junior, and senior year. My brother only went his senior year. And my sister Yvonne went from fourth grade on here, and my sister Joyce went from about second grade on here, or maybe first, I can't remember. But that's how we got to Cimarron. And then I taught school here after I graduated from college, and we finally got the two districts joined. And what other questions? I've just rattled on and on enough.
So you've mentioned the Dirty 30s.
Yes.
You mentioned the Depression.
Oh, when we came to school here that year, they needed a band, or needed to get a good-sized band, because the band was going to go to Kansas City that year to the American Rural.
To the American what?
Rural, I think they called it.
Rural?
R-O-Y-A-L.
Okay, American Royal. Rural.
And we went to Dodge City Days that year. We marched, doing, what was it, the movie? Was it Dodge City? Oh dear, my memory's slipping. Anyway, the band went to Dodge City, and we marched up and down the streets from north side of Dodge, clear to the park, south part of in the parade that year. We went to Hutchinson Street Fair that fall, and then we went to the American Rural sometime during that year. But we, my brother played a trombone, cause since we'd had music all along, he played the trombone, and I had a clarinet, and we got to go on the band trips that first year that we came to Cimarron School.
You went on quite a few band trips then.
We did back in those days. Even when I was teaching, the band would go to like KU and play during the half of the football games and things like that. They don't do that much anymore. It's too expensive, I imagine.
Now, when you were younger though, that was still in the middle of the Depression.
Yeah, well, the Depression was over.
Was kind of over by then?
Oh, it was in 32, 33, 34, I think, in those, it was over. I graduated from high school in 41, and it was over then.
Yeah.
Oh, we weren't, it was just like typical farmers, you know, they have better income some years than others, and so it was, but my dad did, I don't know how he did, but he managed to get us, we didn't have scholarships to go on then, like you do now.
Yeah.
Didn't have the scholarships. We worked while we were going to school. We worked at some job at the colleges. All of us did. But we made it somehow.
So do you remember Jackrabbit Jives then?
I remember. I was quite young. Uh-huh. I remember them organizing them. Uh-huh. And we did. I remember two or three, but I did not. I was too young to go on them. But I do remember the Jackrabbit Drives. The men did, the grown-ups.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about World War
II. My main memories was I was a freshman in college at Kent State University, and on December the 7th, 1941, is when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And it was a Sunday, and I was riding in a red convertible.
Was it yours?
No. Oh, no, heavens no. I didn't even own a car. We didn't own cars then. But this couple were seniors in college.
Okay.
During World War II, on that Sunday, December 7th, 1941, two college seniors, he had the convertible, and they were going to be married after graduation. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine and myself was out riding around, and we went to early church. Mm-hmm. And after church, we were stopped at a filling station because we were going to go for a drive. We had to fill up with gas. Mm-hmm. And we had the radio on. And well, then you didn't fill your own tank. Mm-hmm. The station attendant filled. While they were filling our car, we had the radio on, and they announced that Pearl Harbor had been hit. Mm-hmm. It was about, I think, around 11 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, we did not, and they went on and told about what was going to be rationed. Gas was going to be rationed. Sugar was going to be rationed. Shoes were going to be rationed. Mm-hmm. These things affected me, see. Tires. There were several other things, too, that we had to, that were going to be rationed. And so we just drove the car home, and they took us home, and they didn't do any go for our drive that day. Mm-hmm. And that was the first experience. And we all had radios at school, so we could listen. We didn't have any televisions. Mm-hmm. We had newspapers, and I took a history course, and that was my freshman year. And I was taking this one-hour history course, and our textbook was Time Magazine. And we had to keep up on the war by radio and by reading the magazine. And we had to report what on Time Magazine about. The class only met once a week, so. Mm-hmm. But that's how we kept up on the war as college students, was reading the newspapers and radio and magazines. Mm-hmm. And FDR was president, of course. But I wanted to quit school my third year and join the Waves or something, because I wanted to travel.
Join the Waves?
That was the women Navy people.
Okay.
But my brother was drafted, and he was already in the Navy. Because he was through college at KU, and he talked me out of it. He did not want, he wanted me to finish school, and my parents wanted me to finish school. So I didn't go, but I wanted to stop and see the world, I guess. So I didn't have the true picture of what war was at that time. Mm-hmm. But I did, but when I started out as a freshman year with, in all my classes, there were about half boys and half girls. By Christmas, or by second semester, I went to biology classes and to chemistry classes. The boys were gone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Must have been hard.
Yeah, they were gone the second semester of college. And that was December, see, and the second semester then was in January, started the second week in January. The boys were gone, all but one or two here and there that maybe were unable to go physically or something. And then the ROTC started up. That was on the campus.
ROTC, what's that stand for?
I can't tell you.
Okay. They were
in uniform, Army uniform.
Okay.
They were training.
Okay.
And they were college students that were in the Army. Mm-hmm. But they were, and I don't know exactly, but I don't know that part. I should. But okay. They marched to classes in uniform. And we would have to get off the sidewalks for them to go by. And I knew some of the students. I know two of them. They were all men. Were from Ensign, and I knew them from school at Ensign. Mm-hmm. They didn't dare move a hand or something, but I'd see them pass, and I'd watch for them, and they'd look at me and smile, and they'd go on, and I'd wave, but they didn't. But they were in school, in college, but they had to be. They were already, that meant they had joined the Army, but they were had not been drafted yet or something, whatever. Maybe they got to finish college or something of this sort. But the men would know more about that. But anyway, that was the way, and I went to school all during World War II. And my senior year, it almost turned into a girls' school. My senior year, the boys started coming back. And some of the boys who were in my English classes when I was, literature classes when I was a freshman, were coming back. I was a senior. Mm-hmm. And they were coming back to college to finish. So it was nice to see them again. Some of them. And then I taught my first year of school at Cimarron. I started September 1946. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot something.
Okay.
I stopped 2 years. I went my freshman, sophomore year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wanted to join the Waves, I stopped that winter. Mm-hmm. and didn't go back to school. But I taught school. They needed a teacher at Montezuma.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught fifth grade at Montezuma.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the necessary courses then as a grade school teacher. They gave emergency certificates because they could not find enough teachers.
Mm-hmm. Was that because of the war?
Uh-huh. Or? So I had an emergency teacher, a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
I had the psychology courses and different courses that were required for this emergency certificate with 2 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught fifth grade. I do think I learned more that winter than I learned when I was a fifth grader, for sure. And I learned how to handle young children, and I thoroughly enjoyed them. That's when I did decide to make my major education.
Mm-hmm.
That's how come I decided to be a teacher. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I did enjoy the kids, the fifth graders. And they brought me an apple, put it on my desk of a morning, and they didn't do that when I come back to teach as a high school teacher. I didn't get any apples. I did like the grade school idea. And I lived in Montezuma during the week and would come home on weekends. I didn't have a car. There was a teacher in Cimarron. Her name was Mary Holland. She taught in Montezuma also. She was an older lady,
mm-hmm.
like me. And she taught in the grade school also. But she, I would come to town. My dad was in the First National Bank, and I would come to town with him on Monday morning, get in a car with her, and go to Montezuma to school and to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught that winter. I'd stay there 5 days, come home every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught that 9 months. And two days after the last day of school, I was back to Manhattan, enrolled in summer school.
Mm-hmm.
For they only run it an 8-week session then during the war. They didn't run all summer, just mm-hmm. 8 weeks. So I had to be there on Monday. And I enrolled and two courses, family finance and physics that summer. Mm-hmm. And I went to school for 8 weeks, and then I was back home. And that winter, I was back in Manhattan, and I finished up then. Mm-hmm. So it did take me about 5 years to get through school, because I stopped.
I was counting up. I'm like, you're a senior after?
Yeah. My senior year then was 1946, and I started teaching in Cimarron September 46.
So you lived, you spent time at college as well as at home during the war. How was there a big difference between the two? How the war affected people at college between at home?
I think it affected people other than taking the students out of college, like the boy, particularly men. Now, there were some women. There was some women in my classes that actually joined the WAVES or the WACS. The WACS were the...
WAX?
I don't know how. The BCKS, I think. They were the Army. Mm-hmm. And the WAVES were the Navy. The women. Uh-huh. And there were some that went to the service.
So those women, they joined. What did they do then?
Well, they went to the service. And probably were nurses or mm-hmm. or... I think mainly nurses take care of mm-hmm. people.
So the Army trained them then as nurses?
I imagine they were trained as nurses. Okay. And they were in the service just like they are today. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't near as many.
Yeah.
What did we do at home?
Yeah, the differences.
When I came home, it affected because we had ration to get them out of gas. Mm-hmm. I remember the things that we couldn't drive back and forth to school. Mm-hmm. We had to go, I took public transportation, like a Greyhound bus, to come home for vacations like Christmas and mm-hmm. holidays and Easter. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, we never got home because they cut the college year shorter too. They didn't give you the number of days of vacation that they did normally. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, 2 years I know I didn't get home because they only gave Thursday and Friday off. And the time I got home and got back, I couldn't make it, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember one year, dear, we didn't get home, so we just got evidently Thursday off and was back at school. So it affected transportation because of tires rationing, fuel rationing. Another thing that really affected me was you wore hose when you dressed up. Mm-hmm. No nylons. Mm-hmm. Had to go back to rayons. Mm-hmm. Or rayon would not stay up. And we didn't have pantyhose then. Mm-hmm. So we painted our legs. And hose at that time had a seam up the center in the back. Mm-hmm. And we took eyebrow pencil and drew a line up the center of our leg. We didn't have jeans then. Uh-huh. We wore dresses and skirts. Sweaters and skirts to college and saddles and anklets. Mm-hmm. Saddle shoes. And the home affected at home. It affected fuel and tires. I know my mother gave me a shoe stamp to get a new pair of shoes. Dress shoes, because I didn't have any dress shoes. Mm-hmm. And I bought a good pair of shoes in Manhattan and paid what I thought was a pretty good price for them.
How much did you
with
pay?
Her coupon.
Do you remember?
Probably $15, $20, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They were cheap then. Mm-hmm. And I wore them to church on Sunday. And we had to walk home because I didn't have a car. We had college students took a bus. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking the bus that day, it cost 10 cents to get on the bus to get back to college campus. We decided to walk through the park. Well, it started raining, and I walked in water. The shoe sole, instead of leather, were paper, cardboard.
They were paper?
Yeah, cardboard.
Oh, no.
So my shoe stamp that my mother gave me for her, that was hers, and I used it for my dress shoes. They looked good. That the soles were made of cardboard instead of leather. So you see, it affected lots of things.
Uh-huh.
So that was wasted money and stamp. And so the main thing we wore were saddle Oxfords. When I started teaching, I even started in bobby socks and flat shoes. Mm-hmm. And it affected meat. They started using soybeans for protein instead of meat. Mm-hmm. And soybeans are still a very good protein. We use them more today than we did then. And it affected things you could buy in your grocery store. Shopping affected. Sugar was rationed. And that affects a lot of people, you know, sugar does. Mm-hmm. And that cut down on baking. It cut down on anything sweet. Mm-hmm. And that's my main memories of it.
Did you eat in the cafeteria?
At college?
Yeah.
Yes. We had a college cafeteria on the campus. Mm-hmm. I did not have cooking facilities. I did not cook. I ate at restaurants too in the evening. Mm-hmm. It was more of a social thing. Mm-hmm. And in college cafeteria. We didn't cook at home then like they do now, so I didn't have cooking facilities.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about teaching in Cimarron a little bit.
It was a very good experience. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I should. I taught long enough. I taught a total of 24 years in Cimarron. Mm-hmm. And with my year at Montezuma, it was 25 total years. I taught here the longest of any teacher in the Cimarron High School until the last group of teachers. Uh-huh. There were several that taught longer than I did because I taught 24 years here. And Janet Berry taught longer than I did. I can't go ahead and name others, but anyway, there's several, two or at least a couple of three maybe that taught longer than I did. Sue Gechter, for instance, mm-hmm. Janet. I can call them off now, but they taught longer here than I did. Yeah. But up until then, I had taught here the longest. I taught, when I started teaching, I taught just a course of chemistry to boys and girls, because I had a lot of chemistry in my mm-hmm. field at K-State, mm-hmm. and physics, but I also taught girls phys ed because I kind of minored in physical education.
So the girls and guys were separated then?
Oh, yes. Oh, I guess you'd say they're separated just like they are in high school now. They still had their courses together, like English.
I meant like phys ed. I mean, I know.
Yeah, phys ed was separate, yes. Okay. We had just girls physical education. It wasn't necessarily basketball like it is today. Mm-hmm. We played soft for physical education. In nice weather, we had softball outside. Mm-hmm. We in the wintertime, we had what we call quoit tennis and volleyball.
Quoit tennis. Okay.
It was a round donut thing, and you threw it over the net.
Okay. You just caught it?
Yeah. It's kind of like volleyball, only. And let me see, we played softball. And I taught them physical exercises, what we call today gymnastics.
Oh, okay.
That was only the first year. Mm-hmm. And I was spread too thin with the home economics field and it was vocational. And with the, I took junior, seventh and eighth grade when I started, and ninth and tenth is all. But I finally got the courses. So I still taught 7th and 8th grade just one semester, but I taught freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior girls, not mm-hmm. just sophomore, freshman, sophomore. Mm-hmm. And then I taught family living for years for boys, mixed class of boys and girls. Mm.
It's kind of home ec, isn't it?
Well, it was I taught it in the classroom at the high school. Mm-hmm. It was not in the home economics laboratory or kitchen. It was just a book test. However, I did teach, industrial arts teacher would take my girls for a semester and I would take a class of his boys for a semester. Mm-hmm. And we would, or maybe it wasn't the whole semester, maybe it was just 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he would teach the girls things like that they should know in his class, like how to fix electrical hookups and things. Mm-hmm. And I would teach the boys how I'd have them make an apron to work in the kitchen, just to teach them how to use a sewing machine so they could sew up their pants. But the main thing they were interested in was cooking.
That's kind of...
So I would teach them some foods, but even in the clothes, and I'd teach them some sewing, they wanted to know how the machine worked, and we didn't have computerized sewing machines then. Mm-hmm. And they would take them apart and put them back together because they wanted to find out why they worked. If they didn't work right and they didn't sew, well, they couldn't figure out why. And they were machines you could take apart and put back together then. And they would do that, like taking a car apart, you know. They thoroughly enjoyed it. And they'd oil them and everything. And then if it didn't sew, they'd find out why it didn't sew. So then the girls didn't care that much. Mm-hmm. They'd take my word for it. But I enjoyed teaching students. I enjoyed seeing them learn. And I stayed after school with students and helped them with projects. And they came here. We had FHA then. Mm-hmm. We had slumber parties. They'd come here and we'd have slumber parties here, and we'd mm-hmm. sleep out in the yard, we'd sleep upstairs, we'd sleep everywhere with bags, and we'd plan our program every year. We'd come here and have a slumber party and stay all night and plan our program of work. And mm-hmm. I had lots of students that I bowled with. After I quit teaching, I quit in finally quit in 1972.
When did you stop teaching chemistry and physics?
I didn't teach for about a couple of years.
Okay.
We needed to have it here, but we couldn't get enough enrollment because they didn't, you know, they didn't want to take it. It was too difficult a subject, but I don't know if they still have it or not.
They do.
I think they do now.
Yeah.
I told them, we need science other than biology, because mm-hmm. when I went to K-State, they stuck me in a chemistry class, general mm-hmm. chemistry, the first semester. I didn't know a pipette from a test tube, hardly. And I said, we need to teach these kids science, because uh-huh. if you go into anything to be a science teacher, or if you go into a lot of courses, if you want to become a doctor of any kind, you need mm-hmm. your science. Mm-hmm. And today it's very important. I taught the girls a lot of nutrition. In fact, I was a dietitian. I really enjoyed dietetics. Mm-hmm. And I taught them dietetics from A to Z. And I enjoyed teaching. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the clothing work. We did a lot of sewing. Mm-hmm. But home economics wasn't just cooking and sewing. It was mm-hmm. family living, mm-hmm. management, childcare. Mm-hmm. It was just family living, everything you experience. In fact, we'd have an 8 weeks session of sewing and maybe an 8 weeks of cooking. And then the rest mm-hmm. of the time was in home management, family living areas, see. So it wasn't just cooking and sewing as people often think it is. Mm-hmm. But it was always fun. And a teacher could make it challenging if she wanted to. Mm-hmm. I always tried to keep getting bored myself, so tried to keep it challenging for the student. And that's about it. I did quit in 72, my daughter graduated from high school in 73, and she got to go to school that year without Mama being up there. And she thought she would enjoy that, and she found out it didn't make much difference.
Mm. So Cimarron was without a science program.
They didn't have anything even when I graduated from here. I only took algebra. We didn't have any chemistry. Mm. We had biology. I can't think what else we had. We didn't have any chemistry or physics. Mm-hmm. We had biology. And college and general science when you were a freshman. And that was all.
Mm-hmm. So, and even and when you were teaching, you said they didn't have any science.
They didn't. Well, they had this general.
They didn't have biology, chemistry, physics.
No, I taught just a semester of chemistry, and they didn't have for quite a while. Even after I quit, because I had too many other fields to stay. They finally got it incorporated over a period of years, but mm-hmm. they had to do it because of necessity to get these students educated to go off into college. They started having to have it when they started saying prerequisites for college. That's when it had to come in, and it was a good thing. It was a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I went down there in my freshman year, and I had to take physics, not freshman year, but through school. And I found out I really liked chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I like science. In fact, home economics is science, mm-hmm. largely. And look at all the science connected with foods and mm-hmm. with the science of clothing, fabrics, all the textiles now. At first, we used to just have wool, cotton, linen, and silk.
Mm-hmm.
See, wool and cotton are animal fibers. Linen is a plant, and
silk is from
silk is animal, and wool is animal, and cotton is plant fibers, linen and cotton, and that's what we had. And when I was in my latter years in college, we started getting, we had rayon, and we got nylon. We were wearing nylon hose when I started college,
mm-hmm.
so, and that's science-y. And it involves science, covers a lot of territory.
Mm-hmm.
Dietetics in those fields. Food, there's a lot of science in your food.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important for everybody to have education in. What are you taking?
I am studying humanities mostly.
Well, that's good. Well, that's what I call my family living. Your humanities courses.
And taking a lot of literature and a lot of theater courses.
I think that's good. Dramatics.
Bible courses.
Right, and that's something that you need, I think.
Coming this fall, I'll be taking A&P, anatomy and physiology.
Okay.
Anatomy and physiology.
Anatomy and physiology.
Anatomy.
Now, physiology was another course I really enjoyed. I enjoyed health courses,
mm-hmm.
even today. My reading, I like to read, science and doctors and horses. I mean, I like to read. I'll keep up on all those things.
Well, you read now. How is what we know now different than what you had, what you learned?
But yet, I taught the girls things that wasn't considered important back then in everyday life. But I knew it. We knew it. We had it in our school, teaching at school, but it wasn't considered important. Like a balanced diet,
mm-hmm.
just so you got full, Didn't realize that too much protein wasn't good for you, or too much of anything isn't good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You need a balance between the different nutrients. And the public is much more educated on that now than they were then.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to some of my pupils, they just said, I just poked nutrition and science down their throats, And now we see why, but mm-hmm. then they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's come to it. But I think if you're going to school and getting your humanities courses and you're getting a balanced education.
Also taking some EMT courses in the fall.
Oh, yes.
So.
I had taken a nursing course in home economics.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a whole semester working in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
One day a week. And I spent a day a week my senior year cooking in the high school lunchroom at Manhattan. Just to see what it was like, on hands doing, Of course, the cooks gave me the jobs they didn't like to do. Another way that World War II affected it brought margarine into the picture, because I was teaching, I was working in a high school, and they gave me all this big chunks of white stuff. It looked like lard.
Mm-hmm.
And they had me put it in this mixer, big mixer like this, mm-hmm. and pour this yellow food coloring in it. And then I would dish it up and put it on the table as margarine. And that's what margarine was.
Mm-hmm.
It looked just like Crisco, white Crisco. And we put the coloring in it. And then we dished it up in these bowls and put it on the tables at the lunches for the noon meal, see? That's when margarine came in, was mm-hmm. during World War II.
Why was that? Just because of
the animal fats, or
was more?
It was cheaper, and I don't know. Butter was more expensive, I suppose. But mm-hmm. that's what we fed the high school kids at grade school. But then, after years later, they started making it into the sticks like your butter, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is just nothing but. It's vegetable oil now.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's a fat out of vegetables instead of animals, so.
Thank goodness.
That was grew out of World War II also.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things did. So, use of soybeans as human consumption started in World War II.
Because
mm-hmm. soybeans contained complete protein.
Before it was just animal consumption?
Just animal consumption. See, mm-hmm. peanuts are vegetable, and soybeans are vegetable. And they are complete proteins like your animal proteins are.
Mm-hmm.
And they started using them in World War II because meat was a commodity that was rationed also.
Really?
It was rationed. You could only have, go to the grocery store, and you only had so many coupons or whatever they call them that mm-hmm. you could buy meat with. So they had to get protein other ways.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the vegetable sources. So that's what the World War II did, bring out the use of soybeans and your vegetable oils for human consumption. You mm-hmm. see, now all our oils are